Let's begin reading here at the first verse of Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answering him said, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you today for your word, and we thank you for the fellowship we have one with another, and the opportunity we have to gather together, and the freedoms, and all the blessings that you've given to us. We do thank you. I ask you, Father, that you take your word and bless my heart and all that hear me. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had been baptized, and right after his baptism, we find he gets a temptation. You know, it seems like every spiritual decision I ever made for God ended up with me being tested on it just a short time later. I don't care if you just get saved, and you just trust the Lord, and you think everything's going to go smooth. You trust the Lord, and your relatives won't understand. Maybe your wife or your husband won't understand. Maybe your mother or father won't understand. Maybe children won't understand, whatever. But you're going to get tested to see how strong you're going to stand. When I got saved, I went back out to the base, and I'm telling these guys, Hey, guys, I got saved. Come to church with me. You know, come hear the preaching of the gospel. You know, they laughed for a while, and that's because I quit smoking. So they would go around and blow smoke in my face, you know. Hey, Kincaid, how you like it now? You know? Well, being as stubborn as I am, it probably helped me. Because I wouldn't let them get over me, you know, and just the idea that probably helped me stronger to do it. But I made up my mind to quit. I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, gambling. First day I got saved. So I wasn't going to smoke, and I wasn't going to gamble, and those have been two things I'd done a whole lot of. But I got tempted. Then I started losing friends. And then people started coming over to my house on Sunday morning. And I would have to say, Hey, you guys want to go to church with us? No, well, the refrigerator's here. Have a good time. We'll be back in a little while. If you don't come, you get tested. I don't care what you do. You take a stand, you get tested. I came to the place, and another big decision in my life, the reason why this church is the way it is, and the reason why some of the things that I stand on in the name of Jesus. I've been a full-time evangelist. I was a full-time missionary. I was supported completely, almost completely by Baptist churches and individuals. And I came to the conviction that I had to worship in the name of Jesus, and no longer would I have a denominational name. Well, how long am I going to stand on that? Well, all the money went. A lot of the friends went. A lot of letters came my way. And then, God seemed to leave me alone for a while. And you know, I got to go over those doctrines over and over and over again. Am I right? Can I change them? And I couldn't. So I'm stuck. And then God, after he's tested you, he brings you through. Now you can just expect something. You decide to live for God. You decide to read your Bible. You decide to be a witness. You decide to give money. You decide to be faithful to church. Your best friend's going to come over on the night you're getting ready to go to church. And want to take you out to eat. Or want you to do something. I guarantee it. That's the way it works. You know what God was doing with me? He was seeing how bad I wanted to do what I was doing. Did I really mean business? My daddy had a way of treating me that way when it came to toys or something I wanted. He said, it's a whole lot easier to say no first. You can always change your mind to yes. But it's a whole lot easier to say no first. I said, Daddy, oh, Daddy, I want this. I want this. He said, no, you can't have that. What if I let it go? Okay. He didn't get it for me. I didn't want it bad enough. But what if I really want it? I really want that. No, I really want that. And he kept on going, I really want it. Finally, okay, I guess you really want this. He'd let you have it. Well, you know, God is somewhat that way. You tell God all the time, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. In your prayers about half the time. Most of them you don't really want. If you got them, you wouldn't be happy with them anyway. And a lot of them, God knows the same thing. He knows it's not good for you. You don't really want it. You're not going to go after it. Somebody says, I really want to live for God. Man, I want to have a ministry for God. How bad do you want it? Is it going to cost you some money? Going to cost you some friends? Going to cost you some time? Going to cost you some criticism? Well, it will. You can't really walk with God without crossing somebody else. You want to walk with God? You're going to cross somebody else. The day you decide to walk with God, you cross the devil. And the devil's got a lot of people that are his, and then he's got a lot of people that aren't his, but he can manipulate. Sometimes the devil will take a Christian, a born-again believer, and tick them off. And they'll act like a lost person. They'll act like your worst enemy. You're going to get tested on anything you decide to do for God. Well, here is the Son of God. He's entering on his ministry. He's been baptized. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit comes down like a dove upon him. He's baptized. There's a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Man, what a great start. Sounds like a great start, doesn't it? And the very next thing, it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know what? He wasn't led by the devil in the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. God took him out in that wilderness. In a little while, I'm going to go back and compare some things with Genesis chapter 3. But I want you to think about the comparison here. Here's the second Adam we're talking about here. First Adam, all in Adam, die. Second Adam, all in Christ shall be made alive. He's the second Adam. The Bible calls him that. Now, the first Adam fell, and he had everything going his way. We find Jesus, when he gets up to take his testing, he's got nothing going his way. You would think. He's in the wilderness. He's not eating. He's going to fast for 40 days. And he's tempted after that. Adam, he had the most beautiful woman in the world for a wife. He had every kind of animal he wanted. He had every kind of fruit and vegetable that he wanted. He had a perfect environment. He had everything he got for his friend. And he falls. Well, Jesus Christ goes through temptation, but he's not in the Garden of Eden. It's not with all the fruits and vegetables and delicacies around him. It's not with any friend there for him, not any lover. He goes out in the wilderness. And so it says right here, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is where he's going to defeat Satan. You're going to keep on defeating him. And by the way, one reason why this is in here the way it is the way Jesus defeated Satan, you can defeat Satan. You mean that, well, yeah, he was God. He was God in the flesh. He knew what he was doing. He had a foreknowledge. He had an understanding of things way beyond a human being. That's all true. But the way Jesus Christ defeated the devil, you can do it too. And that's exactly what he's showing you. The same temptations that are given to Jesus Christ were given to Adam and Eve, were given to you. The devil hasn't changed his tactics. I think you'll see that before we're through today. The devil has not changed his method. If you get a good method, why change it? You got a certain trap in checkers and it just works on everybody. It just keeps on working. It keeps on working. You don't change it. You just keep using it. You get a certain way of doing something. It's very successful. You don't change it. You try to teach it to somebody else and you work it. Well, that's the way the devil is. He's got a good method. He knows what he's doing. So it says in verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. He was 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, you'll notice 40. 40 is a number you'll find in the Bible quite often. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 is a type of judgment. It's a judgment. Whenever God decided that the children of Israel had sinned and they weren't going to go into the promised land, he put them 40 years in the wilderness. You're going to find your 40s around there. Well, here's 40 days. 40 days in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. Now, he goes in there with the Holy Ghost, but almost nothing else. His knowledge of the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, almost nothing else, and he's tempted of the devil for 40 days. Now, the Bible lists us three types of temptation that he had here. And you look at him as he starts. Said the first, verse 3, the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of Man, command this stone that it may be made bread. Now, I don't know if you've had much experience fasting. I've done a little fasting myself, and it's an amazing thing how much your mind thinks on it. You would think, okay, now I'm going to be real spiritual. I'm going to fast. And so I'm not going to eat any food for 3 days or whatever. Every ad you see on the highway will be for a hamburger. Every ad that comes up on television will be donuts. You know, your people will say, oh, boy, this was so good. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot, you know. Everything in the world will come up, and your mind is focused on food. Now, you would think, I'm going to be real spiritual, and my mind's going to be on the Lord. Well, when you start denying that flesh you got right there, that belly you have there, that appetite you got right there, your mind's going to be on this. How is that spiritual? Well, you'll learn how weak you are. You'll learn how fleshly you are. You'll learn how controlled you are by your habits and your appetites. Well, here Jesus, 40 days, he hasn't eaten, and the devil comes up to him and says, you see that stone right there? If you're the Son of God, prove it to me. Make that stone bread. Now, would there be any sin in him making that stone bread? Not at all. Not at all. There's no sin in the Son of God, God himself, making a stone into bread, making a stone into a child, making a stone cry and praise God. There's no sin there at all. He's not being tempted to sin. You know what he's asking him? If you are the Son of God. Do you realize how many times the devil says, if you are a Son of God to you? If you were really a child of God. If you were really saved. If you really had the Holy Spirit. If you really knew the Lord. And he gets a lot of defeat in Christians' lives. Because Christians say, well, man, I'll be better than I am. And you ought to be better than you are. That's true. You ought to be better. You ought to have a stronger will than you got. You ought to have more guts than you got. You ought to have a lot of things more than you do. You ought to live a better life than you do. You ought to talk better than you do. And you ought to love better than you do. Isn't that right? And the devil will walk up to me on any given day and say, hey, if you really were saved, if you really were a preacher, if you really were called of God, if you really loved anybody, hey man, he can put you on a down trip right quick. A lot of people live with depression. They fight depression all the time. Well, he comes up to him and says, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now he's saying, if you're the Son of God, take your supernatural power and you take that right there and make it and prove it to me. Does that ever get to you when you were a kid? I get to tell us when we're older. Prove it to me. Show me. I don't believe you. I don't know how many people get themselves in a crack because they're trying to prove something to somebody else. You're trying to prove you're smart. You're trying to prove you're really saved. Or you're trying to prove you really are a preacher of the gospel. Or you're trying to prove that you're not living the way you used to live. Or you're trying to prove something. And you sometimes get yourself in a real crack, go out of your way, get yourself in trouble because you're trying to prove something to somebody. You don't have to prove anything to most people. You just have to walk by faith. You have to walk before God by faith. If thou be the Son of God. Well, Jesus is the Son of God. He knows who he is. If thou be the Son of God. You know what? I know who I am. I'm a Son of God. I've been saved by the grace of God. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. By faith, I'm headed for glory. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But you know, sometimes somebody says, well, if you're a preacher, good night. If you're a Christian, why, who'd want to be a Christian? And of course, with some of you, the way you live, they might have a legitimate complaint. Amen? Oh, me. Amen or oh, me. Maybe I'm dull or maybe you're quiet. Who knows? Ah, oh, well. It said right here that Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's a very interesting statement there. We're talking to the author of the book. He doesn't have to say it is written. You ever thought about that? He doesn't have to say it is written. He can just say, you're supposed to live by the word of God, not by bread alone. He can say it because it was his words in the first place. Why do you think he put it as written in there? For you. For me. You know, there are many Christians today who do not really have the knowledge or the conviction that the Bible is an actual authority over them. They take the Bible and they judge. Well, this is for our time. This is not our time. This is a quirk of Paul and really not the word of God. And the word of God's in here, but we can just sort of pick and choose whatever we want. You know, one of the greatest blessings of my life when I come to a place I believe I had the word of God. It is an authority. I can know what I'm talking about. I can be sure of what I preach. I can be sure that if I get the knowledge of this book, I've got the truth. Jesus is saying it is written, and he's quoting the scriptures, and he's doing something you can do. You know what helps you a whole lot of times when the devil comes up to you? If you say, it is written. It is written. Quote some scripture. Bring some scripture. One of the reasons why some of you are caught sometimes, you don't have the knowledge of the scripture, and that's it. You know who's on first. You know what the latest Olympic champion did. You know what they're doing at work. You can remember telephone numbers from 40 years back. But you can't call a verse to mind on your knee when the time comes. You need to have some of the word of God in your head. Why should you read the Bible so the Holy Spirit has something to work with? You got a little library up here. You got a database. You got your computer with everything loaded in it. And sometimes when it comes to spiritual things, it's blank. It says erased. It says never loaded. It says tilt. Doesn't work. Power's off. You need to get some of this it is written into your head. So that when something comes up, something in the scripture will come to your mind and you can actually answer. or something. Well, here's the devil comes up with a temptation, and Jesus says, it is written, man should live by the word of God alone. Not by bread, but by every word of God. Well, do you believe that every word? You know, that's another little verse that's been a blessing to me. If Jesus says we must live by every word of God, we gotta have every word of God. Well, you see, most of the churches, most of the seminaries and the colleges, and most of the Christians out there don't believe they have every word of God. They think maybe the word of God is in all these Greek manuscripts, or maybe it's up here, maybe it's in one of these 100 translations in English, but they don't believe they have every word. Some of it might be lost. It might be in these lost books over here and this lost book over there. You know what Jesus said? Every word. Every word of God. You know what I believe? I believe you've got every word of God. I don't believe you're missing a thing. I believe you just take what God gave you, and what God has blessed, then I tell you what, I believe you just get the truth, and it'll be a blessing to your life, and you'll have some confidence in what you read, and in what you do. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Now, I don't know how many people have a problem with their Christianity because they're worried about bread. Jobs. I said bread. But it's not just bread, see. Well, I can't come to church. I got work. I never will forget, I was an evangelist in a revival meeting in Louisiana. And I was visiting with a pastor. We was knocking on doors during the day. Went by this sort of a home business where they were rewiring alternators and starters and stuff like that. And they had it all back in this big garage in the back of the house. And two brothers, and they were saved, members of the church. And the pastor said they hadn't been there for a while. And so we went up there and he introduced me to them. They stopped working a little bit, shook hands and whatever. And we were talking for a few minutes. Said, you guys gonna come to the meeting? No, preacher, we're just too busy. Well, you guys gonna come tomorrow night? No, preacher, you don't understand. See, we just got too much work. We just really too busy. He said, you gonna plan on coming this Sunday? He said, preacher, like I said, we just busy. He said, you guys mind if I pray? He got on his knees right there in that garage and said, Lord, take away their business. And they interrupted his prayer. Preacher, don't pray like that. We'll be there. Your children have too much business to serve you. Take away their business. They got too much work, Lord. They're making too much money. They don't have time for you. You're too busy working three jobs, so you don't have time for God? Don't have time for your family? Maybe you need to give up a car. Maybe you need to buy a cheaper house. Maybe you need to live on less than filet mignon, huh? You're not supposed to live by bread alone. You're not supposed to live by this world alone. You're supposed to live by spiritual things. You know what? Since you've been saved, the number one thing about you is you are a child of God. You are a spiritual being. A spiritual being. I know the most important thing to you, and you'll find out how important it is if you do a little fasting. Just tell yourself no on anything. I don't care what it is. If you're a Coca-holic, just tell yourself, I'm not drinking Cokes for a week. You'll have headaches and stomach pains. You won't be able to sleep at night. You'll go through withdrawal symptoms like a bit, and you realize what a nut you are, how bad your flesh controls you. Make up your mind, you're really going to exercise. You're going to put an hour in every day. We'll see how long you last. You won't even last 3 days. You'll conveniently forget it. You'll complain that you're exercising so much you're hurting your body. You will think you're going to be going to the hospital in a week's time. You think the most important thing about you is your bread. You think the most important thing about you is this physical life, putting something in your mouth, putting something on your back. It's not. The most important thing about you is your spiritual life and your relationship with God. The Bible, when it quotes the tripartite portion of man, three parts of man, the Bible says spirit, soul, and body. Every time you quote it, you say body, soul, and spirit. Is that just a slip? No, that's the way you think. Body first, soul second, spirit last. What you ought to be is putting the word of God and the spirit of God first. You turn your marriage around, you turn your life around, you turn your thinking around, you turn your depression around. You got your head fixed on right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Boy, you spend the time putting that bread down, don't you? I tell you what you do. You would be a spiritual giant if you spent as much time putting the word of God into your mind as you do putting food into your belly. Woo, that ain't no big deal. Ain't no big deal. Oh, no, but try it. You lazy bunch of no accounts. You know I'm telling you the truth. It is written. You can say it is written too. God's trying to give you some understanding that you can use the word of God against the devil. You can use the word of God. The word of God is a tool. It is a sword to be used. It cuts. They laugh about me pulling out my little bitty knife and saying it's sharp. Well, I'll tell you what. You don't have to have a big knife cut somebody up. Now, lots of times these gang guys and these kids, you know, carry a knife. One guy pulls out a knife, he pulls out a bigger knife. Here's the biggest knife wins. Another guy walks off, you know. But I'll tell you what. You just got a little knife and it's sharp. You cut somebody up pretty bad. Don't take much. And the word of God is a sword. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It cuts everywhere. There's not any way you can get messed with it if it's going to cut you. You touch it, it's going to cut you. You need the word of God. And you need to understand that my fight against spiritual matters will not be won on the bread side. It's going to be won on the word side. If I'm going to win in a spiritual life, if I'm going to live an overcoming life for the Lord, it's going to be won on the word side, not on the bread side. Too much of us, we live our life on the bread side. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I want. Oh, I've got to have. See, any of you been around for any amount of time, you got a house full of stuff you had to have that you haven't used in a year. You're stumbling over it. It is in your way. But when you bought it, you had to have it. You could not live without it. I mean, your life was simply going to fall apart if you didn't buy this particular thing that was there. Am I right? You know I'm right. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taken him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Now, the second temptation here, the devil says, this is mine to give. You know what? I believe him. I believe him. You've heard the stories different times of people selling themselves to the devil for certain things. I believe it. I believe you can live for the devil. I believe you can live for the world, and you can get a lot of things you want. But you sell your soul to the devil. And you give up a lot of other things that you thought weren't important when you made your bargain. You can go out there in this world right here and make a lot of money, play around a whole lot, live what we call sin, wine women song, or wine men in song, depending on whether you're a man or a woman. You can have a whole lot. The devil will give it to you. What you don't understand is, he's going to take some other things away. You're going to lose some things you can't get back. You're going to bring some disaster on you or your kids or your grandkids that you can't stop. You'd be real wise not to choose some things. Some jobs, some places, some towns, Someone asked me here a while back, they were moving back east into one of the big towns, got a big job, wanted to make an awful lot of money. And I asked my advice. I said, well, number one, the first thing I see is I wouldn't move my family with my small kids back to that area. They can keep their money. They can keep their job. I think you might make big money and you might lose something for your children. You need to make some choices. The devil will give you some things. He'll give them to you up front. And I believe he can give people power, money, wealth, fame. Oh, but there's a tremendous cost. Anyway, he offers it to Jesus. Now he takes him up and lets him see. Now notice what he saw. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. There's a verse that says, what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If he gain the whole world. Nobody's going to gain the whole world, but here Jesus gets that same picture. You know what you want? It might be you want to be an Olympic athlete since you're watching Olympics this week. You might be saying, oh, that's what I want. Oh, I'm going to work for that. I'll give everything up for that. Might be you want to become a lawyer. Might be you want to marry some certain fella or girl. Whatever. You set some goals for yourself. This is what I want. This is my life. Well, here Jesus has given all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of him if you'll just worship the devil. A lot of people think that's a good bargain. All I got to do is that. Hey, no big deal. Me and Baal, we be thick. Let's go worship Baal. You guys been worshiping Baal? Let's really worship Baal. I mean, you guys got a temple over there. Hey, I'll show you how to really worship in that temple. We'll go for it. What do you sell to get what you want? Well, the devil said, all you got to do is drop on your knees. You got all the kingdoms of the world. They're yours. All the glory of them. I can give it to you. You know what? Many of you fall for that. You ever seen that old cow? She's got her head through the fence. She's tied up there, and she's eating the grass out here, and the grass inside just as good. I drove by a field. It was just high with a beautiful green, some sort of feed. All those cows are up against the fence. The whole field is out there. What are they doing up against that fence? They got more food than they can eat sitting right back out there, and they're all up against the fence. Some of you about that way. Not very smart. Don't use your head for anything but hair fertilizer. I know it works for that. I can tell that. It's supposed to be used for brains. If you get enough brains, it'll push the hair out. You get smart enough, you just gradually push it out. Speaking of some of you don't have enough smarts, got too much hair. Devil took him up in the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee and the glory. Power and glory and what you can see that you want. You know, the devil's tactics with Jesus Christ are what he uses with you. What you can see that you want. One real problem with television is we can see so much that we can want. Talk about it being a poor place. Hey, I heard the other day it's the fattest city in the United States. Fattest city in the United States. When you add the military in, it's only the third fattest. If you took the military out of the equation, it's the fattest city in the United States. Now, they don't know why. They're studying diabetes, and they got me going back to school again for diabetes. But anyway, it was an interesting statement that gal made. By statistics, we're the fattest city in the United States, if you take the military out. If you leave the military in, we're still the third fattest city in the United States. And I must be preaching to the right bunch of people. I must be preaching to the right town. You want things. You see something. You want it, and you desire it, and you'll give up anything to get it. I don't know how many people have been walking with the Lord, and they get a lost boyfriend or girlfriend, and they give up the church, give up the Lord, give up the Bible, give up their morality, and head out because they want that person so bad. Until about 5 years after they got them. And then when it comes down to how we're going to raise our kids and what are we going to do with our lifestyle? Are we going to keep drinking? Are we going to keep gambling? Are we going to the nightclubs? Are we going to settle down because we got 2 or 3 kids? Then you got a real conflict. Maybe a lot more problems than you ever thought you'd ever going to have. What do you want? Well, you show him all these things and the glory of them and the fame of them and the power of them. Woo, sure did look good. Guarantee it looked good. If thou therefore, verse 7, will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Notice what he said again? It is written. For it is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shalt thou serve. God comes first. You don't just live by your physical life, you live by your spiritual life. Not by bread, but by the word. God comes before kingdoms. God comes before wealth. God comes before sex. God comes before pleasure. God comes before anything else. God comes first. You put God first, your marriage straighten up. You put God first, your mind will straighten up. You put God first, your life will straighten up. You gotta get yourself in proper order. You got the wrong things first. He said it is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. Can you got that down in your head? God ought to come first. Him only. God ought to come first. If you don't, you're gonna make some mistakes. It's a lead pipe cinch guarantee. You're gonna make some mistakes. You put your kid above God, you're gonna make some big mistakes. You gotta put God first. God comes first. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He takes him in a spiritual way, carries him up to the temple, sets him up high on the pinnacle of the temple and said, jump down! You're wanting fame, you're wanting glory, you want people to believe in you, you want people to hear you. Man, jump down! And the devil does the same trick back on Jesus. He said, it is written. Let me tell you what, the devil quotes scripture too. You think the devil doesn't know the Bible? The devil knows the Bible better than you do. He's not dumb. The devil is interested in religion. He's interested in worship. He knows the Bible. And so when you're quoting scripture, the devil quotes scripture too. Just quoting scripture doesn't give you, you gotta have the sense of the scripture, know what it means. But he quotes scripture to him. You know what he said to him? If you're really the Son of God, nothing can happen to you. If you just drop yourself off that temple that would kill anybody else, the angels will float you down. Boy, you'll have a crowd to preach to. Man, you'll have glory. You'll have something really big. And he said, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. He said, you can't even stub your toe. God's got you so protected, God's got some promises for you, you can't even stub your toe. So you can jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Somebody says, I believe I'm going to live until my time comes. Stand out in front of a train. Your time just came. Isn't that right? You're going to jump off the pinnacle of the temple believing God's going to keep you around for another 30 years. I bet you're mistaken. I bet you presumed upon God. But here's Jesus. And the devil's quoting scripture to him. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't go putting temptations in God's way because of your presumption. You think God has got to let you do what you think he's called you to do? God's called you to do something. And you decide you're going to go do it. And some obstacle comes up in the way and you decide, well, it just doesn't matter. And God's called me, therefore. You know what? There's a lot of missionaries that died being missionaries. And preachers that stood up before governments that died being bold preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can look back in history. I know we live in a very wonderful time, in a time of tolerance. They tolerate us preachers and us Christians. We tolerate all the queers. We tolerate every kind of sin there is. And we tolerate all sorts. We're a tolerant generation. But there were some generations past, they didn't tolerate preachers. They put them in jail for preaching. They burned them at the stake for not being Catholic. I'll tell you what. You can be in the will of God and go right down to your death. Don't tempt God. Don't put God in a place where he has to do your will. You be sure you're always willing to do his will. Don't put God in a place where you're tempting him to let you go ahead and fall. Because lots of people have fallen. Lots of people have been wiped out on something like that. Anyway, it says that the devil ended all the temptation he departed from him for a season. Jesus has been 40 days tempted of the devil. These are the three main temptations. I don't know how many different temptations came his way or how many different ways each of these temptations came to Jesus over a period of 40 days. I don't know exactly all about it, but I do know this. He was tempted. He overcame by the word of God. He overcame by saying no to the devil. If you can just figure out which side the devil's on, just say no to that one. You know, sometimes you can't figure out how in the world am I going to do this or that or some other thing. Well, just say, look, is this God's side in the situation? Is this the devil's side? Well, I don't care about anything else. Choose God's side. Get on God's side. Say no to the devil's side. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to show you something very interesting. Most of you know most of the story, so I won't take care of all of it. But the devil, verse 4, serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He contradicts God. For God doth know that in the day thereof, ye your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, tree desired to make one wise, pride of life, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did. And the eyes of them both were opened. The very first successful temptation we have a record of in the Word of God is the temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden. He tempted her with her flesh. He tempted her with what she saw. He tempted her with her pride. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. How many of us have been caught in our life past by either our fleshly desires, what we can see, the lust of the eyes, or our pride? I heard a guy, I don't know if he's a young man or not, I didn't see him, but on the way to church this morning, boy, he pulled his pickup out and boy, and Bernie said, sounds like your old car. Yeah. Hey, when I was a kid and working on my cars, you know, I'd take those flathead V8s and plug those heat risers and, I could make some noise. Why? Pride. You see some guy walking down the road, you know, and he's got his ponytail here and he's got three or four earrings and necklace hanging. Pride. You see this kid that comes down here and his pants about to fall off of him? And he's walking along like a cool dude, you know. He thinks he looks good. He don't think he looks bad. He thinks he looks good. He says, man, I am one cool dude. Take a look at me. Woo! Well, you see, your pride might be in a little different thing. It might be in just the curl of your hair or the color of your hair. Or it might be that your clothes have the right sticker on the back of them. They didn't come from Walmart or Kmart. You paid twice as much for them. And you're proud of that. Or you're proud of your house. Or you're proud of your car. Proud of your job. Now, we know Dara must have been awful proud of her car because the Lord just demolished it. Oh, that beautiful car. All that hail came down on it. Woo! Boy, be careful. Buy a new car, get too proud of it. I bought a new car. I was so proud of it. 1 month later, it was accordion. Boom, front end back. So I took the starch out of that new car for me. Driving an old wreck for me, well, I'll do it. Paying all that money still, driving that wreck. The devil's tactics back here in the Garden of Eden worked on Eve, and when he got Eve, he got Adam. Adam had to die to save his wife, just like Jesus had to die to save the church. You think God couldn't have made another Eve for Adam? Oh, he could have. Adam loved Eve! The Bible says Eve was deceived. Adam went with his eyes open. He knew exactly what he was doing when he took his sin. Now turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, isn't it amazing the scripture uses this word all here? For all that is in the world, comma, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All that is in the world. You know how you can drop this world system? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's the world. Do you see something? Maybe I just see it, and I'm not communicating it very well. The devil hasn't changed. He's using the same temptations he used on Eve, he used on Jesus in the wilderness. And the same temptations he used on Jesus in the wilderness, John is writing about right here in 1 John, talking to you about how you ought to live. Lust for the flesh, lust for the eyes, and the pride of life. You better get afraid of what you look at and see. You better be really afraid of what really looks good to you, because it just might be of the devil and probably of this world. And the chances are, when you go that direction and you choose some of these things, you cut yourself off from some blessings from God. You are a spiritual being. Abraham lived in a tent all his life. He's ready to move. How about you? How settled are you in this old world? Lust for the flesh, lust for the eyes, the pride of life. I have been caught so many times by those things. Lust of the flesh. You simply have to have it. Well, it is. A lot of young people today, they just have to have sex. They're not married. They don't do it God's way. They just got to have sex. Well, you know what? We got an epidemic of venereal diseases. The United States has venereal diseases in epidemic proportions. Oh, yeah, I remember when penicillin came out. It was supposed to be the magic cure. You could get those venereal diseases. And, boy, a shot of penicillin. Pop, it's gone. They got strains today. Nothing works on. Because, see, those diseases got smarter. They migrated. They mutated. They got better. They got tougher. And they got to where they can handle some of these drugs. I hear some doctors are talking about it won't be long that maybe none of our antibodies will work. You think you can play with sin? You can't do it. You can't do it. You're going to get tempted. Today, before you leave this room, you're going to get tempted. You're going to get tempted before you go to bed tonight. You're going to be tempted this week. The devil hasn't left you, and you haven't left this world. You're still walking around in this body. There were a few times in my life as I saw some of these things in the Word of God, and I wanted to walk spiritual. I wish I could just get out of this body. But I got to wait. That spiritual being inside of you has to walk around with this thing hanging on him. And I tell you what, I could quit eating, but I don't have a 40-day ministry. And then it'd be over. You got to live in this body. You got to eat. You got to buy and sell. You're not going to last very long. You gotta have a job, or nobody's gonna feed you very long. You gotta live in this world, where the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and oh, aren't we proud? It might be you proud of your dog. Oh, look at my dog. Oh, I got the best dog. He's the most faithful dog, the most loving dog, and the most beautiful dog, and the most expensive dog. Maybe even proud of your church. Oh, I got the best church. What are you proud of? Proud of life. It's an opening to sin. You gotta be real careful, see? You can get caught every way, and the devil has been using these same things over and over again. You know what? Now you know what he's using. Start looking for it. We're not ignorant of his devices, Paul says. We're not ignorant of his devices. Every once in a while, I have to recognize that's the devil talking to me. That's not the Lord. The Lord wouldn't have written that letter. The Lord wouldn't have said what I said. The Lord wouldn't have done what I did. Must have been the devil. Must have been me. Must have been the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. They're not of God. They're of this world. And bless your hearts, this world is passing away. Make the best trip in it you can possibly make. Put spiritual things first. Understand the Word of God so you can see things as they really are. And then pray to God Almighty for mercy as you walk around in this flesh. Thank you, Lord bless you.